Welcome to the newest Ferris Love Podcast, single, not stalled, pursuing sanctity in your singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendships, personal growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hey, Monica.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's just a few days away from when this podcast will go live. So happy Valentine's Day.
I really leaned into the theme. I'm in a hot pink sweater and I put on my You Are Loved hat. I love it.
The sweater's mine, just saying, but yes.
Okay, I borrowed a really cute hot pink sweater for the occasion.
I love it. Rome. Yeah, I mean, I think this is perfect to talk about Valentine's Day, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what our whole topic is going to be. But before we dive into it, what was your joy from the week?
So I have been on the road since before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I've been traveling a lot. And I have actually spent the vast majority of it, if not literally all of it, with you.
Yes, it's true.
And actually, as this kind of like time is coming to an end, I was thinking about it and kind of thinking about this topic of Valentine's Day and loved ones and like so forth. I think like that's been my joy. And as I've been like reflecting, like being able to like kind of be on the road, but like spend more time with you. I think it's been really, I mean, I've really enjoyed it.
No fair, you took mine.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I was like, this is great. Cause you know, like I think we mentioned this in one of the other episodes, but Monica is like 10 and a half years younger than I am. So, you know, when I was 17 and went off to college, she was like seven, six and a half. I don't even know. So we haven't really like lived together. I mean, I feel like we were more together than some of the younger ones who came after you.
Sure.
Because there are three more that are after her. But anyway, yeah, so this has been like a really enjoyable time. And I didn't get sick of you, so that's good.
I didn't get sick of you either. I mean, for our listeners, to be fair, like I think every time you move to a new city, like, I would come out and visit. We'd do a girls trip. And so, I mean, we've spent like a lot of time together. Yeah. And I think
staffed camps that you used to go to when you would come. Yeah. And you, so it's not that we were like strangers before this or anything.
What I do find is some people in big families or even with distance between siblings, regardless of how large your family is, don't feel that close to their siblings. And I think that's something that's could probably do a whole episode on that, but I think that's something that our parents did a really good job of like fostering connection with each other and with siblings. So
it's true, like all nine of us are really close, and like we enjoy spending time together. Right. And like when we were in Nashville for an entire week for Christmas this year to celebrate our brother's transitional diaconate ordination and all that, like we had a really good time being together. Right. Like it's not like at the end of the 7 days I was like, I don't want to spend any more time with you.
I'm never speaking.
I totally acknowledge that's, we're very lucky in that. Yeah. Way, like the way mom and dad kind of put the family together.
Yeah. Which we're going to kind of get into, I think, a little bit into this episode, because this episode's all about love since it's Valentine's week. But before we do that, last week we talked about limiting beliefs. And so I'm curious about maybe the thought exercise was to think about what are the limiting beliefs and then a reframe with that.
Sure. So, we did two whole episodes on that because we were on a roll. So, interestingly, for Christmas, one of my other sisters gave me a book on my Enneagram type, but specifically like the gospel for your Enneagram type. It's written by this Christian man who actually happens to be what my Enneagram is, a three. So, I feel like I haven't read the other books.
He knows you so well.
He wrote one for each of them, but I felt like, you know. Anyway, and it has 40 different themes. There's like 40 different days you can go through. I have not gone through anywhere near all of them or anything like that. But one of the themes that keeps coming up for me is like, and I thought, oh, this is like a limiting belief that I have to be constantly doing things to feel like successful and productive and
valued.
not maybe valued, but like a lot of times people aren't seeing it. Do you know what I mean? Like Monica was making fun of me because one of the things that I do, if I'm going to watch TV, I will watch TV and bike at the same time. And she's like, why can't you just watch TV? And I was like, well, but like, what? Like, that seems like such a waste of time to sit and watch TV. I could sit and bike. And so I could be working out and watching TV. Anyway, so this was making me think, right? Like, oh, like I don't do that. Like everything is like scheduled and planned. And so it's not necessarily being worth it, but I think I feel like it's a waste if I'm not stacking my schedule and constantly busy and that kind of a thing. So that's my limiting belief.
And what's your, what's a reframe? What's a different way to see that belief?
So I think I'm not totally, I mean, I know things that I need to work on it, but I'm not entirely sure how to necessarily reframe that specific belief other than like, I don't have to be always doing things. Like, or maybe the better thing is like sometimes rest, which I'm not great at, like rest is doing something, right? Rest is important and it's doing something.
Yeah.
It's not mm-hmm. not doing something or it's not important.
Right. Yeah. So kind of shifting that focus or redefining what I see as productive and can I see certain things as productive in their own right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that. I think that's going to be my entire year.
I love it. It's good. It's so good. So I think for me, it's kind of on theme with Valentine's Day. And I think that this was a limiting belief I held for like a very long time. Mm-hmm. I kind of conquered it. But sometimes these limiting beliefs, depending on how hard those roots are in there, they kind of pop back up. So I would constantly have this limiting belief. And now it only comes up when I'm encountered with something like this. But I often find that there's this thought that comes through my mind that says like, there are no good men left. And I really held on to that. That was like one of my limiting beliefs that really kept me from dating in my mid-20s. And I really had to like work through that in order to be able to like even like date and like engage with men in that respect. And so it creeps up now when I'm like, when I'm encountered with like a guy that I'm just like, ugh, why? You know, and so like that can be as simple as like I'm just scrolling through my reels and there's just someone where I'm like, dude, come on. Yeah, or just whatever. Yeah. And so I just thought like, you know what, it's okay to share that I had that limiting belief. It creeps up every now and then. One of my ways of kind of reframing it when I was younger was just really simply saying like there are plenty of good men in this world, right? Like there are many different types of men and good ones are also out there. There are plenty of bad ones too, right? So like validating that, but also recognizing that there are plenty of good men out there. And so the reframe can kind of grow and change over time as you kind of get older. And so anyways, I just thought I would share that because I wonder if some people probably are feeling that as they're maybe approaching Valentine's Day single, if they're situationally single and they're kind of feeling a little bit of that cynicism come in.
Sure. Like what the heck? I've dated a ton or I haven't been able to date because I like haven't found anyone.
Right.
And it's funny though, because I feel like our single brothers also say the same. Like there are no good men out there. I mean, women out there.
Oh, so. Yeah.
You know, and that's always so interesting because I'm like, oh, like our brothers are pretty good guys. And they're like, there's no one. Right? And like a lot of the girls that we know will say the same. We're like, oh, well, too bad we can't. Sometimes I'm like, we should just start a matchmaking service. We're not doing that, but.
But I think what that speaks to is that our limiting beliefs color our vision, our scope, or what we see, which is why we have to be really careful about what those are, because we don't want to discolor the world. Like, I'm not saying walk around with rose-colored glasses. I'm just saying walk around with realistic glasses. And so sometimes it's easy to say, to be discouraged or have these negative thoughts or these beliefs, but we want to be careful that they're not limiting us from opportunities, from openness, from connection, from the things that we really want and desire in this world.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of people listening to this podcast now, especially those who are situationally single as opposed to vocationally single, who are like feeling that, you know, like just especially with Valentine's Day approaching and all their, you know, married or dating friends are like making their plans.
Yeah.
And I think this year Valentine's is on a Friday. So that feels even more because like it's already a date night and then it's Valentine's Day.
I'm home on a Friday night.
Yeah,
everyone's home on a Friday night. Come on. Yeah. I wonder if for you in this vocationally single space, is Valentine's Day difficult?
So it's interesting. I was thinking about this as we were prepping this, and it for me, it's not. I am sure there are people who it is, right? Like, everybody's different. It's not like every, whatever, you know, celibate member of Opus Dei or any other religious organization, right, is feels that way, but for me it's not. But I think partly I was like, God has such a like good sense of humor sometimes. So in Opus Dei, right, which is how I am vocationally single, is February 14th is actually a big feast day for us because it's the founding of the women's branch of Opus Dei. So I think I'm like, God knew what the heck he was doing. And obviously this was in Spain. I don't even think they celebrate Valentine's Day in Spain on February 14th. But I'm like, I love that because like for us, it's a big feast day. Like we have a really nice dinner. We always do something nice together. We have benediction. And it's for me, I remember thinking early on, not that I ever really celebrated Valentine's Day in like a relationally type of way, with some guy or whatever. But I remember thinking early on, like, oh, how nice that we have like a really clear indicator on this day of like God's love for us.
Yeah.
That like not only like when San Jose Maria first founded Opus Dei, he didn't think women were going to be part of it. He really thought God's will was just for it to be for men. He founded it just for men. It was just for men for a while. And then he was saying mass on February 14th and was like, supposed to be for the women too.
Yeah.
So
you get to celebrate, which is one of the recommendations for people who are struggling with a Valentine's Day. I rarely have a hard time with it because I think just typically in my expression of love and typically in relationships, like I want flowers because you thought of me on a Wednesday, not because you were expected to, because it was this XYZ event. Like,
and honestly, cheaper for him too that way.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, like, I never fully like bought into this. Like, it has to be, but I understand. Like, some people are a little bit more hopeless romantic. Some people like love. Some people are often like get really swept up with the societal hype and pressure of everything. I'll never forget though that some Valentine's days have been like difficult for different reasons. But I'll never forget I was working with a client. Married, and she was really struggling with Valentine's Day because all of these other women were posting about the date that they were going on, the vacation he was taking them on, the flowers he bought them, and she wasn't getting any of that. And it was a significant pain point for her. Yeah. And I just remember kind of thinking, like, man, there's more in common with one another than what separates us. And it's easy to say, well, when I get married, I'll always have Valentine's Day, or when I'm with someone, it'll always be special. Yeah, or married people have like, well, like they never have to worry about this. And that's not true.
Yeah, if his love language isn't gifts.
Yeah, or if he's like, you know, the vast majority of men love them. Un poquito forgetful. Like, always
clueless.
A little, right? And so like sometimes the day escapes them or... You know, so kind of just thinking about the fact that, like, if I am kind of falling into this belief or this thought that, you know, if I was in a different place in life, this would be easier. I want to kind of challenge that belief and kind of really, this is an opportunity to make Valentine's Day like what you wanted and to water your grass where you are, right? Like the grass is greener where you water it. So can I pour into myself to the best of my ability in this state of life to make it special, right? So even celibate or like vocationally single people, you're celebrating on that day.
Right.
I mean, something different, but you're still celebrating like love and a gift and a relationship.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, those that, you know, don't have a big feast day, like, I don't know, I would guess, you know, other religious orders and stuff like that, they don't all have. But, like, we do celebrate St. Valentine's Day on that, you know, day. And there's, like, a reason for that. Or one of the things that I love is actually the devotion to Mary Mother of Fairest Love, who is kind of the inspiration behind this podcast and part of why we started. When there's a mass in the canon for her. If you've ever seen, there's a whole book of Marian masses, and there's a mass to Mary Mother of Fairest Love, and it used to be celebrated on February 14th. And it's kind of fallen out of practice now. It's one of the things we're trying to bring back, but like that too, I'm like, oh, like even the church is like, we got you. Like here, we're going to give you, you know, on this day, whether you're married, whether you're single, whatever, like we're going to give you this feast of a mother who like loves you so much and like loves her son so much and loves her husband so much that it's created this fairest love like within that home in Nazareth. And so, yeah, it's a really beautiful
thing. I think that helps us zoom out and mm-hmm. see love from a lot of different angles and perspectives. And I was going to say earlier when I said, you know, I think the way our family, the way our parents raised us was kind of like, love wasn't always thing. Mm-hmm. And you invested in relationships and you invested in each other, which is why, you know, Katie and I can be 11 years apart and still have a really strong mm-hmm. relationship and connection. And that each of the siblings like love each other in a very unique way and, mm-hmm. and so forth. But that like, you know, sometimes I think we can be confronted with a particular type of love, like or a romantic love or so forth, and say, well, I don't have that. Therefore, I'm missing out on love. Mm-hmm. Or therefore, Valentine's Day, I cannot celebrate. And so I think, you know, your example of like Mary, Mother of Fairest Love and like all of these different forms of love and the way the church gives us, you know, loving mothers and loving fathers mm-hmm. and loving and for those who are vocationally single loving spouses at time, mm-hmm. right? That they're married to the church or married to Christ, and that there's something really beautiful about that. And so I think the challenge here is to consider like, maybe this is a really good opportunity and a really good day to actually journal on and reflect on the ways in which you are loved and mm-hmm. which, what are the ways in which I give love and what are the ways in which I receive love? Who in my life do I love and who loves me? Mm-hmm. And kind of really help yourself see that there is love in abundance mm-hmm. instead of in a deficit.
Yeah, because there, when you take a step back, like, okay, maybe you really want to get married and you're not dating that guy, you're not with him yet, but like there are so many other people in your life that are probably giving you love or that are happy to give you love if you need it or if you ask for it or if you make that plan with them, that coffee date, that whatever, right? And so really kind of looking at that and seeing, and too, I mean, big picture, right? That our Lord never stops giving his love, right? Mm-hmm. Like that his unconditional love is what put him on the cross, right? And had him dying for us. But not just for us collectively, like for you and for me, you know? So, yeah, I think that that could be a really good exercise to do. Maybe even just this week before you hit Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was thinking too, as you were talking, like one of the things in our family that I think is one of the reasons we're so close is, and you might not remember this as much, we joke that we grew up in two different families since we are so many years apart. But certainly when I was younger and growing up, and I think it was still the rule when you were growing up, but like Sundays was never a day that we could hang out with friends.
Yeah.
No, Sundays was always family day.
Same.
I wasn't sure. But Sundays was always family day. And so mm-hmm. we had to hang out with our family that day. Like you could not make plans with friends. We did not do sporting events on Sundays. Like Sundays was the day for the family. And I can remember being a kid and complaining about that because there was some event that I wanted to go to or something with my friends that I wanted to go to that day. And I was like, how am I supposed to love my friends if I can't go and like do this kind of a thing? Dad's response was like, but you're supposed to love your family first. So how are you ever going to love your friends if you don't love your siblings?
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But I think that mentality mm-hmm. really helped. And I was thinking, you know, for us now who are, you know, probably if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably outside of the house, whether you're in college or, you know, on your own. Maybe you're still at home. But to think, okay, how can I love the people that I'm around? My friends, maybe my roommates, mm-hmm. you know, those kind of people. Like, how can I pour love into them during this time so that I'm learning even more about myself and about mm-hmm. how I love and how other people want to be loved so that mm-hmm. when that guy comes around, if that's what we're waiting for or looking for, I'm able to do that. Or right. if we are vocationally single, so that I can continue to give love to the people who are in my family, mm-hmm. my vocational family, or in my community, if I'm part of a religious community, you know, how do I continue to give that love right. to them?
Yeah. It's that old adage of be what you want to see in the world, right? Like be mm-hmm. that love that you want to receive, because I think that it's easy to look at what we don't have or what we want or to pick out the negatives or the deficits in the world around us. It's much harder to move through action in filling those deficits or in living to those things that I want to see. And so, you know, sometimes the best cure for kind of some of those pains or those tinges of loneliness or sadness is service, mm-hmm. is thinking of others. And it doesn't necessarily mean like you could be thinking of others and saying like, hey, other people might be having a hard time with this day. Like, why don't we all do a dinner together? Like, my girlfriends and I do a Galentine's, and it's not always on Valentine's Day. It's just like at some point in February, we do a Galentine's. Like, so much so that one of them actually this time last year, like, she thought her boyfriend was going to be proposing soon. And then he like picked a date. She's like, wait, it can't interfere with like Galentine's Day. And we were able to like use Galentine's Day as this like little trick to actually get her engaged. Yeah. And so it was just like, you know, like that's how dedicated we were to being like, you know, if Valentine's Day is about love, love means so much more than just romantic. And I can invest or celebrate the love I do have in my life, and I can give love, and I can be of service, and I can put myself out there to others in ways that like maybe one day I hope to receive. But I need to be kind of practicing and participating in that space.
I think it's such a good point how you're saying like love is so much more than romantic love. And I think in our society today, we've forgotten that often, that we are just so obsessed with romantic love, with sexual love, with that kind of a thing. And like, you know, even when I was teaching, I remember a student told me once, she's like, I think every relationship is somehow sexual. And I was like, what? Like, even with your best friends? And she's like, I mean, I think in some ways. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like our society has just warped the way that we look at love for our friends, love for our family, that suddenly every kind of love has to be sexual in nature. And that's just so, it's so limiting when we look at love that way, right? Because love is so much greater than that. And ultimately, when we think of as the definition of God, God is love, right? Like, that's so broad and like covers so many areas. And isn't just so narrow and prescriptive as like just sexual love. So I think that could be a really good thing for all of us to think of as, you know, we're hitting this day.
Yeah. One of the things I like tell my clients, and one of the things that I have to like do for myself, like practice what you preach. But this idea of kind of, I often say like, widen that scope, widen that scope for yourself. Why are we looking down like such a restricted lens when we say it has to be this, or Valentine's Day is only good if it has this type of expression, or a relationship only means this? Like, why? That the path is wide. The path is very wide. And so widen that scope for yourself and allow it to mean other things. It doesn't mean that that mixed with all of this is not some sadness or some disappointment or some difficult feelings. Like, those are allowed to be there. And what else is allowed to be there, right? Some of these other perspectives that we're offering.
This is a totally different direction, but for some reason,
pivot.
I have a migraine as we're recording this, so I feel like that's partly why I'm like, dee-dee-dee, like squirrel. But this is also making me think like, okay, it's so good for us to think of, you know, who else is in our life that we're loving and all that kind of stuff, but also to just take advantage of this day. Well, and all the hype that comes around with it. I mean, geez, I feel like Hobby Lobby and Walgreens have Valentine's Day things up for like,
and puts Valentine's candies now. Out. Like, everybody.
I mean, you can get Valentine's Peeps, and I love Peeps, but for Easter. Anyway, but it was making me think too, sometimes I think we need to pray more about and like converse more with our Lord about and look for the ways that He is showing us He loves us.
Oh, I love that.
Because I think so often we get caught up in the like, I need this, that love or that validation or that proof showing affection from friends. And then I get hurt if they don't call or text, or I haven't heard from them in a while or whatever. And like, yes, absolutely. That those things can be valid. But like, what are the ways that our Lord, our God who loves us infinitely, is showing us that? And I think there can be lots of different ways. Maybe there are certain things for you that mean it. I always tell this story, but for me, it's white-tailed deer, which is ridiculous because if you grew up in the Midwest,
they're everywhere.
They're everywhere, okay? But I don't mean like the dead ones on the side of the road or whatever, or the like ones hanging in my parents' living room. Like seeing them often in moments when I'm doubting God's love has become this like theme that I feel very much like suddenly I'm like overwhelmed by like, okay, He loves me. He's got me, right? So I can remember a time, maybe 10 or so years ago, I was kind of going through a vocational crisis and I was like, what the heck, Lord? Like, do you want me to do this? Like, I don't know. And like really struggling with all of that kind of stuff. And I was staying someplace that had a lot of deer and people kept coming and being like, oh, I was at this conference and they're like, oh, I saw deer today. And I was like,
what the heck, Lord? I am struggling and I haven't even seen a deer and you know how much they mean to me and all of this kind of stuff. So I had gone, I know it's ridiculous, but I'd gone out for a walk by myself and I was like walking on the way to a little like Marian shrine that is on the grounds and like head down kind of like, woe is me, classic, right? Whatever. And I look up and there is a deer on the path, like walking towards me. And I'm like, whoa.
God's like, is this close enough?
And I continued walking towards this deer, and this deer continues walking towards me, okay?
Oh, gosh.
And then I got close enough that suddenly I remembered all the hunting videos I've seen of deer attacking. Okay, this is our family. But anyway, and so I stopped and the deer ran off. But I, in that moment, I was like, oh, like, this is God being like, I got you.
I'm here.
Like, I am here and I didn't leave. And if you aren't sure, let me walk towards you as you are walking towards me, right? Like, you're going to visit my mom in this little Marian shrine. And I'm like, yo, I'm here. And since that time, every time I'm going through something that I'm like, I don't know, Lord, like, whatever. Like, I will be out on a hike or I will be somewhere and suddenly there will be deer.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Cool, thanks. Like,
thank you so much.
And I see that very much as like our Lord, like giving me a little gift, right? And I think there can be many things like that. And it doesn't have to be something as dramatic as a deer walking towards you down a path, but you know.
Yeah, I can't say I've had any dramatic signs, but I think, but I do think that it is a really interesting thought exercise or invitation to let our Lord into that space. Actually, I'm going to correct that because I don't like how that sounded.
And he's already there.
He's already there, right?
He's there.
So it's an invitation for you to open your eyes or to ask to like receive those insights better, more clearly, or to like to accept when he's there, right? Because sometimes I don't know about you, but like, I don't want to accept that. I'm like, no, I'm alone. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, no, like, you're not being nice to me because I'm not getting what I want.
Right.
And so like, I don't want to talk to you right now. But the invitation is for us to open our hearts, to let our guard down, to see where he is because he's there with us in those moments or he's loving us in each and every moment of the day. And so I think kind of the willingness to see that, to let him in to those spaces that we are maybe kind of like putting up blinders to.
Yeah. And I think once you start doing that, it's interesting. You'll start to see it a lot. Like, I'll often like look outside in the morning and like there'll just be this beautiful sunrise. And like, I can't even see the sun. I can just see like the way the clouds look. And I'm like, Lord, thanks. Like, cool. You know, nature clearly is my thing, is my love language from our Lord. But yeah.
But it's also, I mean, like, you choose to see that as a message from him, right? Which think, like, just helps us feel so loved when I, like, yeah, I mean, because everything is a gift from him, if we really want to, like, look at it that way. And so, you know, like, can I look to, run towards, or see the gifts our Lord is giving us as much as I want to see it from someone else? Like, as much as I want that, like, really kitschy heart-shaped box of chocolates on Valentine's Day. Like, low-key, I don't, but like, I would smash
but our
the
Lord,
box.
Yeah, but our Lord's offering you those like
every day.
I think, you know, and yeah, sometimes just thinking about, it's interesting, when I was teaching, I used to take my freshmen on a nature walk. Okay, but like, around the school grounds, which let me tell you.
It's not nature, it's a
suburbia.
Suburbs.
Okay, suburbia. But one of the things that I would always do is I was like, I want you to just walk in silence, but I just want you to notice the different colors of green that our Lord has given us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to just pay attention to these kinds. Like, he didn't have to give us all the rods and cones in our eyes to be able to see the nuances of green in the grass versus the leaves of this tree versus the leaves of that tree versus that lawn, which doesn't get watered, and this lawn that does, or whatever. But like, he did. Like, what a gift, right? Or I got to see the Grand Canyon for the first time ever, like 2 years ago. And I got there before the sun rose. So I'd never seen it before. I got there before the sun rose and I just watched the sunrise over the Grand Canyon. And I just was in such awe of all the colors of brown and orange. And I was like, oh my gosh, God is so good. Like, not only did he make this, but like, he made it for us to appreciate. Like, God doesn't need a Grand Canyon. He doesn't, right? Like, it doesn't faze the animals whether there's a Grand Canyon or not. Like, we got it. He made it so we could have it. And like, yeah, okay, it's a river and erosion of all that stuff. But like, he made that for us to enjoy. And anyway, so I think maybe that's more of how I see my Valentine's often is like looking at those things mm-hmm. since I'm, you know, vocationally single yeah. as opposed to others. But
yeah. Well, and I think that in part we want to zoom out and see like Valentine's Day for what it is a little bit, right? That we've commercialized something, but cheers. That in its essence, what was it meant to be? Well, an expression of love, mm-hmm. right? That I'm an expression or a declaration of love and affection, right? And so I am thinking of our episode the past 2 weeks, right? Where we kind of reframe this idea of like, well, I don't have a Valentine, and being able to look at that and say like, but I am never without the opportunity mm-hmm. to express love and to receive love. And even if you don't have people in your life who are all that great at expressing love, mm-hmm. like our Lord is. And so I'm never without the opportunity to see that right. and to choose to find it in my day-to-day life.
I mean, ultimately, you're never without a Valentine, right? Because even as you get, even if you, when you get married, right? Like it really, the order should be God first, spouse second, right? And so ultimately, like your Valentine is the Lord, you know, like ultimately, big picture, right? But yeah, it's true. Like you could say I'm not without, like I'm without a physical spouse here right now or a physical Valentine.
Yeah. Okay. I'm also thinking back to like elementary school when like, everybody got Valentine's?
Yeah.
Do you have to, like, decorate a box and, like, everyone put this stuff in? Like, adorable, right? But, like, nothing romantic in that expression. It was just like, hey, this is an opportunity, a day to, like, show people, like, you care and give them something nice.
But you gave it to everybody. The kids you liked and the kids you didn't like.
I remember, like,
the kids that were bullies.
It's like you had to bring, like, 30 Valentine's because there were 30 kids in your class.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You weren't, like, going to be stingy with people. You know what I mean? And, like, you couldn't leave people out. You know, I think that there's something, and like, I mean, maybe if you had a crush, they like wrote a special note to you or something like that's cute.
Or you got the nice candy with the thing.
Yeah, exactly. They drew like two hearts on your note instead of like one. I don't know. But that, you know, there's something about like, can we go back to that, the innocence of our childhood, that it was just exciting to receive love and to show love.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a day that gave us that opportunity. And so sometimes I think as we grow older through life events and circumstances or things just not going the way we maybe expected, we can become like a little jaded or cynical or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And as a part of that, we lose some of this like childlike innocence and love and wonder and awe. And I think this is that opportunity to like reclaim that.
Yeah.
Like if I so choose.
Yeah.
I can reclaim.
You could text all your friends and just be like, hey, happy Valentine's Day. I was thinking of you or whatever. Or share some like small little compliment. I love when you do XYZ, right? Mm-hmm. Like that could be a really simple way to like just give love on that day to the people who are in your life. You know, whether they have a Valentine or not, whether you have a Valentine or not.
Yeah.
Those days. That. Yeah.
Well, I think that could be a really interesting thought exercise because we're not saying homework. I had to think of a different way to say these things. But maybe checking back in next week and mm-hmm. sharing like how you showed love mm-hmm. for Valentine's Day. Like what was like the expression or the reception of that?
Yeah. To the people that are in your life. I think that's a great thing to do and to really think about. And it doesn't have to be to everybody. It could mm-hmm. be, you know, to a couple people. Maybe it's to a friend that you haven't talked to in a while or seen necessarily. Maybe it's someone who, I don't know, you've had a falling out with and you want to reconnect with. Or maybe it's just your best friend who you just want to, like, let them know. Like, thanks so much. Like, I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah. I mean, or you plan a date with our Lord. Like, I'm thinking, like, okay, like, if it is hard for you, like, that's totally fine. It's okay for that to not be a good day. It's okay for it to not be sunshine and rainbows for yourself. Sure. But like maybe you buy flowers and you go to the Adoration Chapel and you leave our Lord flowers and you stay with him and mm-hmm. he sits with you in that sadness. Like that's what a good relationship, like a good lover, like does. Like they sit with you in that space. So like it's okay to say making this like a fun or enjoyable day is too hard for me. That's okay. What can I do that's still opening me up to receive love in that way?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just going and sitting with our Lord can be so good. Coming from a person who always feels like they need to be doing things. Like sometimes it's okay to just go and sit and be in front of him. You know, I heard this story once and I don't remember where, but that someone stopped this, you know, construction worker, milkman, some like basic level kind of job or whatever, who was coming in and out of church every morning, who would clearly was going and praying, and asked him like what do you do in there? And he was like, I just look at the Lord and the Lord looks at me. And I'm like, that's so profound, mm-hmm. right? And it's okay to just go and sit there with him in his presence. And even if you're just like staring at the tabernacle or staring at the monstrance and you're like, Lord, what the heck?
What the heck, man?
Where's my man? Or not. Or like, what do you want from me? Or whatever.
I feel lonely today. Like, you know, I think that we can feel lonely on this day for like a lot of reasons. I think some people who maybe, like, I'm even thinking vocationally single. Like, there are some people in this world who just really hate feeling left out. Yeah. And it's just a really obnoxiously in-your-face couple-y day.
Yeah.
I mean, society makes it so. And so I can understand how people from all kind of walks of life, from all different vocations or all different relationship statuses, can look at that and say, that's not me. And right. I feel alone.
Right.
And
I feel
left out. And so, you know, that's okay. That's okay. Like, I think that that's such a real experience shared by so many. Mm-hmm. And, like, our Lord can be there with you if you let him, you know, he wants to be. And so no matter what the day looks like for you,
mm-hmm.
that there's so many beautiful opportunities to love and to be loved, mm-hmm. and for the day to be really like authentically what you want it to be.
Sure.
Even if it doesn't look the way you expected it to.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, thinking of like going and praying in the chapel and being like, I'm so alone or whatever, right? Like, to remember, like, there's really no human emotion that, like, God didn't experience.
Sure.
Like, Christ is on the cross and his 11 best friends are not there.
Yeah, what jerks.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like, he could have looked down and been like, I mean, and I'm sure he did. Like, I'm alone. Like, yeah. Here's my mom, who, of course, isn't leaving me. Here's John, right? And Mary Magdalene. And, like,
yeah.
Cool.
Right? Or even in the garden, right? When he's like, you can't stay awake with me.
Right? Like, he gets it.
Like, he's like, I'm suffering here alone, and goes, wakes them up. They fall back asleep. Like,
okay. And so I think sometimes it can be so good when we're experiencing emotions, especially heavy emotions like that, of tiredness or overwhelm or whatever, that we stop and look at, like, scenes from the gospel and see, like, okay, like, how did our Lord handle these things? Right? Like, what did he do? And
he wept.
And know, yeah. And know that he experienced them as well. Okay, anyway, sorry. That was a little tangent. We've tangented and did tangential a lot.
Yeah, our Valentine's Day episode became about a deep relationship with our Lord. But, you know, I kind of think that when it feels like I have nothing else, that is, in fact, the only thing we have. Consistently, continuously, like, that is what we have.
Yeah.
And that is what we can rely on. Like, you can put all your eggs in that basket. Like,
yeah. And he and cannot never, deceive, you know, like,
he will never leave you.
He can't leave you. He, yeah.
And on that note, that's it for this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you. And this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving this episode or podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled, or shoot us an email at singlenotstalled.com or at gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living and walking boldly.